Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Mike Bryant. I'm one of the deacons here in the church. In case you forgot who I was. No, we're glad to have you with us today and glad to have our special guest, the Flower Family. The music you were listening to was some of their music that they've been able to produce while they've been in Spain. If you've got your bulletin, you see we have a full schedule of a lot of activities between now and the end of the month. And make sure that you are familiar with that. And as you notice, choir practice starts again today.
So we started at UGA. And I always introduce myself to my students. And one of the... So those of you who know me know that I'm, you know, very empathetic with people and really... So anyway, I always put this one slide up, and it's a picture of Clint Eastwood in the poncho and the hat and the beard from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And I use that, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, about me, about feedback about me from others. So... Wow. So I always ask, just kind of take a poll, who is this person? This is the first class I've had. No one knew who he was. No one knew who he was. So I said, you know, so I had them guess, and one person asked if he was a main character on a very popular video game that was out, Red Dead Redemption 2, for anybody who knows. Anyway, I said, no. So I told him who it was. So I'm not sure if they're just all uncultured or I'm getting old. So it's one of those two things. You guys can figure it out yourself. No, because it would apply to all of you as well, whatever your answer is. So we're going to start with, I never do this, by the way, up here. This is just not normal. Let's never do this. We're going to start with hymn 48. Hymn 48. I will sing in the mercies. Stand with me. This song has some echoey parts, so if you want to sing the echoey parts, that's good. Do that. And I did some trimming yesterday, and anytime I do landscapey kind of stuff, it always comes back to affect me a little bit. So some of you are nodding your head, so I don't know. Thank you, Adam, for that way back. Yeah. Okay, so 48, stand with me, please. I will sing in the mercies.
As we go to prayer, thank the Lord. My dad's surgery went well, and he's able to be here this morning, hobbling around a little bit. Fixing that torn meniscus in his knee was taken care of on Thursday. Don Holder is going in Tuesday for surgery to deal with a large kidney stone that has to be removed. And so be praying for Don. He's been miserable with kidney stones for a while, and apparently he's not going to be able to pass it. He's going to have to go in and have surgery to have it removed. So be praying for him today. All right. Buddy, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to come this morning and worship you, gather with each other in fellowship. praise and sing praises to your name. Lord, we come and we lift these up to you today with the expectation of God as he's suffering through these kidney stones. Lord, we pray that you give him comfort, peace, medications to ease the pain somewhat, and Lord, give the surgeons the ability to take care of this difficult problem that he's having. We pray that you'll continue, Brother Jim, as he continues to recover and rehabilitate this knee, and Lord, we pray that you'll just get him back to the normal strength as soon as possible. Others, Lord, in our church that are not feeling well today, Lord, we pray that you'll be with them as well. Bring them comfort as well. And Lord, we just ask that you bless our time together in this service. Lord, in Christ's name we pray.
Okay, let's turn to 72. Hymn 72, Jesus is Lord. We'll sing all three verses. We'll ignore everything on the right-hand page. So, just 72, Jesus is Lord. One of the perfect right triangles. 3, 4, 5, in case you're wondering. So the sum of the squares of the lower side, smaller sides is the hypotenuse. 3, 4, 5. Okay. No other name.
That's our engineering
level. So no other name. We'll stay. This is our offering hymn. No other name. You should learn something every day, right? No other name. 345, offering hymn. We'll sing all three verses.
Yeah. Father, we do thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord. And just pray that you would bless the service, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you would have us hear and learn here today, Lord. I thank you for our guests, Lord, the flowers, and I just pray that you would lift them up during this time, Lord. I pray for those that couldn't be here, Lord, those that are sick. There are many. We just pray that you would continue to heal them and lift them up and bring them back to us, Lord. And I pray for our military, police force, Lord. I pray that you would protect them, lead them during this difficult time as well, Lord. And I pray that you'd bless this offering to your service, both the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name we pray.
Welcome back, Debbie. And Mike, you too. Well, we are privileged to have with us veteran missionaries we've supported for a long time, Dennis and Ruth Flower. I know the bulletin says Tootie. Tootie was evidently a nickname that came from a younger sibling's inability to pronounce her name correctly at first and struggle with Ruth, and so her family has always called her Tootie. Her husband does too, but everybody in Spain knows her as Ruth. 49 years, I think that's long enough that we so we'll call her Ruth, okay? But welcome, Dennis and Ruth Flower. After their many years of ministry in Spain, they are now back in the States, retired, but there's a photograph out there. I could not get the printer to print it in color. When we got our printer, the copier, it's a color copier, but I immediately turned the color function off so I wouldn't accidentally start printing lots of color stuff that would cost us extra money. And now I can't figure out how to turn it back on. I spent about a half hour this morning trying to figure out how to turn it back on, so I do not know. It was too late to call for technical help. So anyway, it's a black and white photo of them with their church family out there on the bulletin. But Brother Flower, would you come ahead and share what the Lord's given you to bring as a report on your work for us? Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. And it's a real treat for us to be here. Tootie and my wife.
My wife, Tootie, and me to be here with you. You folks have supported us for many, many years. I'm really not sure how many, but it's been a long time. And we appreciate it so much, how you stood behind us all these years. And we just are glad for the opportunity to come and tell you about it and tell you about our ministry and what the Lord has done down through the years. And how just blessed, and from you can kind of get an idea of how the Lord was blessed by that picture that's out there. Because when we went to the city of Elche in 1976, We did not know one person in that city. And over the years, the Lord has raised up that work and really blessed, and it has a national pastor now, and it's continuing on. It's a national pastor who is supported by the church, which is very unusual in Spain, because most of the churches in our circles are small, and of course there a lot of them are missionaries, and so they have their support. And but for the church to be able to support their own pastor, and he's doing a tremendous job. He's Mexican, but we forgave him that. He married a Spanish lady, and who is a pastor's daughter, and doing an excellent job over there. Let me start, I guess, at the beginning. There are two events in my life that really changed the direction of where I was going to go. And one of those started even before I was born, a very early age, of course. And my folks, when they married in 1939, first day of the year, they said, if the Lord ever gives us children, they will learn to play the piano. Well, I was the first one to come along. I have a brother that's 13 months younger than I am, Lance Flower. Possibly some of you have heard of him. He taught at Bob Jones University all his life. And as I grew up, get to the age of 7, on a farm out in southern Iowa, they found me a piano teacher. And a year later, my brother started taking lessons also. So at first, it was a lot of fun. We were playing neat pieces, had a good teacher. She was had us playing duets together, and we would go to these clubs and things like that and play, and it was a lot of fun. But later on, when we were 10, 11, I suppose 12, all that practice became a real drag, because our teacher required 5 hours a week practice. We thought that was quite exceptional. But anyway, our folks backed her up. No, you've got to get your 5 hours a week practice. And so we began to work on Mom. Mom, this is a waste of time, really. We never talked to Dad about this. Just Mom. And we have chores to do. We have to milk the cows. We have to drive the tractors, and just all kinds of things. And this money could be used in much better ways, like for missionaries and things like that. And we had all the arguments. And finally she said, okay, I'll talk to your dad about it. So when he came in from working out, why, they went into the bedroom, and we could hear him talking back there. Pretty soon he came out. He says, where are you guys? He says, you get up to that piano bench and you start practicing. He said, you cannot quit. You cannot quit. And we couldn't. I mean, you didn't argue with Dad about stuff like that. And that's one of the reasons that you can see that hymn book back there on the back, and a representation of the cantatas that we've been able to do over in Spain. If it hadn't been for my dad saying, you can't quit, that would have never happened. The other big thing was, I was the first one to go to Bob Jones University, and many of my family have gone over the years. But I was walking across campus in my first semester, and a fella stopped me, and he said, understand you play the trombone. And I said, yeah. I'd learned to play the trombone and to get in the marching band in high school. And learned it one summer. And he said, we're getting up a team to go to Puerto Rico to do evangelistic work. The leader of the team his name is Hernan Cortez. Maybe some of you have heard of him. And he's Puerto Rican, speaks Spanish. I said, well, I don't know a word of Spanish. And he says, well, he's going to teach us to sing in Spanish, and we can play our instruments. I play an instrument and accordion we have. And so that's what we're planning to do. Would you like to join us? And I said, well, I'm sure Dad is expecting us out on the farm, expecting me out there to work in the fields and help out with everything. But I'll write him and see. So I wrote my dad. We didn't have cell phones where you just, you know, picked him up and, hey, Dad. You wrote a letter and waited for the reply. And when it came back, it said, you do what the Lord wants you to do. It says, we'll get things done around here. Don't worry about that. And just floored. I'm going to Puerto Rico next summer. And we did deputation to raise money to buy our tickets to go, and we spent that whole summer, 2.5 months, in evangelistic work all around the island with Hernan Cortez. And my eyes were opened like this to the mission field. 2 summers later, one summer later, I was out on the farm helping Dad and riding the tractors, and I thought, you know, there's a lot that could be done on the mission field. The Lord began to work on me about going to the mission field. So I changed my major, went back to BJ and changed my major to Bible, began to prepare myself for the ministry. I'd been a piano major before that. About broke my piano teacher's heart. But anyway, years later, I sent him two of my children, and they studied with him. So I guess I was forgiven for doing that, Mr. Morton. But we went there, and I began to pick up a little bit of Spanish. Well, then I began to take Spanish in the university and began to love the language, had a good teacher. And in 64, I went to Chile with a Harvest, Christ Harvesters team, again with Hernan Cortez and another fellow, and we went down there and spent the summer, which was winter down there. We about froze to death, but had a great time in ministry and playing our instruments, learning more Spanish. And then the missionary that we were working with that invited us, he told me, would you like to stay longer? You can live here with us, and we'll go out in evangelistic meetings together. And again, I wrote my folks, and they said, fine. So the first semester of that year, instead of going back to BJ, well, I stayed in Chile until after Christmas, came back to the States. And again, the Lord was really working on me to continue on in that ministry. Well, I came back to the States. We were engaged, and that year we were married, 1965. So you can do some math. I understand there's some math people here. So you know how long we've been married. Long time. And so glad for each other and how the Lord has led us together. And my wife has a defect. She knows all about it, and she tells me about it quite frequently. But her defect is that she was born without a compass. She was born without a compass. And she gets lost. She can go in one store, a door in one store, and come out another door and not know where she is and where she has to go to get back to where she came from. So she told me, she said, I'll stay with you and you'll have to take me because I'll never be able to get back. So I said, that's fine. I don't mind that at all. You just stick right with me. And she has down through the years. Now, the Lord has given us four children. One North American, born there on the BJ campus. We have a Chilean, was born down in Chile. And when we went to Chile for a term, we were there for 4 years, and then we began to realize that Spain was opening up. And so we came back to the States for just a short time and then went to Spain to work in a team ministry with three other families that had settled in the city of Burgos in the northern part of the country. And so then we had two Spaniards born while we were up there in that part of the country. We were there 4 years. And Lord blessed. Church was started. It was a tough time. Franco was still alive, and we would go to rent a place to have services, a local, as we call them over there. And they would say, sure, we've got something for you, and they'd take us to see it and everything, and they would say, what were you thinking that it would be for? And we would tell them, and then it wasn't available. And finally we found an old farmhouse out in a small town 6 kilometers out of Burgos. A fellow rented that to us, and that's where the church started. I say it's an old farmhouse because those country people would have the bottom part of the house for their animals. They'd bring in the animals in the wintertime especially, and they had where they'd feed the cows and so on. And then the heat from the cows would go up to the second floor of the house and keep the house warm. And that's where our church started, up there in Burgos. But the Lord blessed, and a number of people were saved. There was a couple that were saved there that I'd like to tell you before our time is up. Just a tremendous blessing of how the Lord leads in meeting people and for the Lord to save them. But anyway, after 4 years, we began to realize that the team was not on the same page as far as some doctrine was concerned. So three of us moved down into southeastern Spain to a city called Elche. And like I said before, we did not know one person in that city. It's a city of 200,000 people. It's most of the bigger cities in Spain are just a sea of apartment buildings. Most of them are anywhere from 7 stories to maybe 12 stories sometimes. And they're all compact. Every once in a while you'll see a little park and so on, but that's the way Spaniards live, in these apartments like this. So there were three of us there. There was Flay Allen and Paul Bixby and myself. And we began services in the Allen's living room. And the Lord began to bring in people, and we realized we needed to get a local, a place to have services. And so we were able to rent one. We didn't have near as much problem down in Elche as we did up in Burgos. Burgos was a Catholic town, very Catholic town, where the priest would go to retire. And also there were some Catholic seminaries there. But down in Elche, it's more southern. Like here in the south, people are more friendly than the gringos up north. And So that was the way it was in Elche. And so we were able to find a locale without too much problem. The church grew, and so we rented the locale right next door. If this was the street right here, then we rented this part. Right here in the middle was the stairway to go up to the other stairway, and also the elevator to go up to the other apartments up above. But we had this part and had our pulpit up here. Well, we rented this other part of the building. And so we knocked out the back wall here, and half of the congregation would sit here, and the other half of the congregation would sit over here. These people could not see these people. And our platform was here. So we were preaching this way and this way. We kidded about having a divided congregation. But anyway, the Lord continued to bless. And so we began to save up our money. The church began to save money. And we began to look for a place to buy. And in 1986, the Lord gave us that building. It's a whole building, all itself, for the bottom floor, and then another floor that are living quarters, and then there was another, we call it a nave, up above. And then next to it was the bottom part of a building next door. So we had over 300 square meters. I'm not sure how much that is in footage, but it gave us a lot of room. It had been a shoe factory before, so we had a lot of conditioning to do to make it serve our purposes, but no columns anywhere. It was all open. And so that's, the Lord gave us that at a very special price, and before long it was all paid for, and the people themselves had paid for it. We didn't bring money over from the States at all to do that. And so the Lord has continued to bless down through the years. Some of the people in the church were interested in a Christian school. And so we contacted ACE. They were interested in translating their materials into Spanish. And so we began a school. We had the school for 10 years. I was supposed to generally 13, 15 kids at a time. And some of them are still in the church. They're grown now and have their own children. And some of the ones in that picture that you'll see out there, Tootie taught them their ABCs years ago. And just real joy to see them. Have they come up through the church and now teaching their own kids the ways of the Lord and so on. We had the school for 10 years, but authorities made us close it, so that ended that. But then, right away, we wanted to have a music program. Brother Flay is very musical, and so Dr. Garlock, Dr. Frank Garlock was over visiting us one day, and he said, "But we can't find really good music that we'd want to use for our choir." And he said, "We'll use our music. We've got music. You can translate it and use it." So we started out, but of course it had to be translated. The song "Born to Die." That was one of the first cantatas that my wife did. And immediately realized that translating was going to be a big challenge. Born to die. Three syllables. In Spanish, it's nacido para morir. Seven syllables. Now, how do you fit that into the music? It's a big challenge. And then, what about the rhyme scheme? It needs to have a rhyme scheme, too, based on what it is in English. We do not add notes. We do not subtract notes. It has to be excellent Spanish, poetic Spanish. It has to be all the notes have to fit the beats of the words have to fit the beats of the music. In other words, we say Jesus. So Jesus has to go with the music. Otherwise, it would be Jesus. And you don't want it to say that. So you have to pay attention to all that. So it's quite a challenge. And she would write stuff out, do what you call borradores. Can't think of words in English now. But rough drafts, that's it, rough drafts. And show it to me, and I'd say, uh-uh. So she'd go back to working on it, and she'd come over and, what do you think of this? I'd say, yeah, you're getting there. Stay with it. And finally she would have it up. And so then I would take the music and put it into the computer. I learned the Finale program and either had to put the music into the computer or Majesty Music would give me the music in English in Finale, and then I could take it and put it into Spanish. And that was the way it works. And so you can see the results of that back there on the table. We have done 33 cantatas. 33. And we've done, I think you said 17 choral books, 13 choral books of just music for all occasions and singing the church. Our choir, we have a choir of about 25, roughly, that sings. We have when we practice is on Sunday afternoon. I'm still having trouble getting back into into English. We're discovering America again. This America isn't what we left 53 years ago. It is not. It's a different place. But anyway, we practice on Sunday afternoon, and we have always working on several songs, but then we sing a song that Sunday night, and then we sing the same song the next Sunday morning. We can go upstairs. There's another piano up there, and we all go up there and practice between Sunday school and church. We practice that song, and then we sing that Sunday morning. So works really well, because sometimes there are people there on Sunday night that aren't there on Sunday morning, and vice versa. So then we've done a cantata every Easter and every Christmas. And they're the big cantatas. A lot of work. Sometimes we've had orchestra with them. And it's the big time when we get lots of visitors. We've had as many as 150 come to see our cantatas in the church. And so it gets a lot of people there who ordinarily would not be caught dead in an evangelical church, as we call them over there. That just, you know, I got to go confess to the priest where they've been. So a lot of them won't come to a church for just a regular service, but they would for a cantata. So the Lord is really blessed in that way. So that's basically the way the music program has gone. I haven't mentioned the hymn book. Brother Flay and Dr. Garlock pushed us to do this, their Majesty Hymns hymn book in Spanish. And so one summer, we went to the States for just a short furlough. We were going to be gone about 2.5 months. And I'd hardly gotten my feet on the ground, and Dr. Garlock called me, and he says, I want you to come over here tonight. We need to talk about this new Spanish hymn book. I said, well, Dr. Bob, we just got here just about an hour or two ago. Could it wait till in the morning? And he says, yeah, okay, I'll see you in the morning. So we went over there, and he was really wanting us to get started on this, but we were just thinking of a little chorus book, basically, although had hymns in it, of maybe 125, 150 at the most. And so we began choosing hymns for that and so on. And Tootie was sitting there listening, and she piped up and said, she says, I'm praying that we'll do a full-sized hymn book. And we said, what? I'm praying that we'll do a full-sized hymn book, 600 hymns. And well, you know whose prayers gets answered. We got a hymn book there with well over 600 hymns in it. And so we were there for a full year. When we finally went back a year later, people says, uh-huh, yeah, you went for 2.5 months, and you come back a year later, your credibility is completely gone. So whenever we'd come back to the States for just a couple months or so, they'd say, well, how long are you going to stay this time? Anyway, we have a lot of fun kidding with people there. So the Lord has blessed that hymn book. This is the fifth printing of it. And there's some 40,000 of them in all of the Spanish-speaking world. Here in the United States, in Mexico, Central America, South America. And the Lord has really, really blessed us. You can see a copy of it there. And I've got it marked in the back of it where there's a little section where you can see all of the songs that Tootie has translated. That are in that hymn book. I think there are over 200 songs. And probably in her career, if I might say it that way, she has translated close to 1,000 songs. Close to 1,000 songs. The Lord's given her a really gift for that. She's very witty with poetry, things like that. Said some incredible things that I won't go into. This morning, one time, Brother Flay came to the house, and I wasn't there. And she opened the door, and Flay says, "Howdy doody, Tootie," and just like that, she said, "What do you say, Flay?" And so, I mean, she really comes out with some good ones sometimes. But anyway. The other thing that the Lord has really blessed us with is with we don't call it a seminary, but we call it a Bible school, and it's run for many, many years. I've taught many courses in it, as the other fellows also have. And we've graduated 3 pastors from that Bible school that are now pastoring their own church, one in Alicante, which is our daughter church. Our church in Elche started a church in Alicante. And a fellow that his name is Jose, he was saved in the church and went through the Bible Institute, and he is now pastoring that church over there with his wife. By the way, he has a son who is now just finished seminary up in Northern Ireland, and he's come back, and he is now pastoring a church in southern Spain. There's another fellow in Valencia. You've heard of that place. And then another fellow is up in the north in the Basque Country, pastoring a church that Al Bonikowski started years ago. And then there's two ladies who grew up in our church. They were saved in our church. And then later married pastors, and they are now pastoring in church. So really we've got seven out of our church that are now either married to a pastor or are pastors themselves. And so our influence has really grown in many parts of the country. They're good, solid churches with good music and good principles and solid in the Word. I think one of the greatest joys that I've had is knowing that what Brother Flay and I established as what the church would be when we started in 1976, it still is today. It hasn't changed. Of course, we have modern improvements and so on, things like that. But as far as what is the bedrock Bible teaching, it's exactly what it was years ago. And so many churches in Spain and here in the States, you can't say that about them. They go for the mod, you know, what's the latest? Well, we're going to do the latest. We haven't done that. And as far as I'm concerned, that has been a tremendous, tremendous blessing to me. What else should I mention? We have a children's work that meets weekly. We have Sunday school every Sunday morning. Of course, COVID has really messed all that up. But the church is continuing on. Only the church can hold about 100 people. There are normally we would have 80, 90 people in the services, but the government has cut us down to just 30% of that, and they have to be spaced around and so on. So we don't know how long that's going to continue on. We hope not very long. Having youth ministry that continues on. They meet weekly. Another thing that I've done is that since I knew how to play the piano and studied the piano for many years, 5 hours a week, people were wanting to study piano in the church, and we needed to train someone who could carry on playing in the church. So I offered to teach piano. I would not charge people in the church. And I said, I will not charge you in money, but I said, I will charge you in 5 hours a week practice. And you have to, I want a notebook where I write what you're supposed to practice on, and there's a little place there where you have to write down the time that you get during the week. If you do not get 5 hours, let me know, and no lesson. No lesson. And some people really took advantage of it, especially the mothers. You know, they get right after their kids, and come on, you got to practice. Others, you know, they'd send the kids to the room where the piano was and shut the door. And an hour later, you know, meanwhile, the kid, well, he needed a drink of water. He had to go to the bathroom. Well, he had to see who was out in the street, you know, who his friends were. And if they got 15 minutes good practice, you know, that was a lot. But I've had some really good piano students down through the years. I taught my four kids to play the piano, and also Brother Flay's three daughters, and the Dodgins, who worked with us for a long time, and had some really great piano students. And now they can play the piano. One girl that is over in Alicante, it's a town of about 25 minutes away in Jose's church over there. She's a girl who can play any of those cantatas back there. She can play any of the hymns in that hymn book, and is just a tremendous asset to the church over there to be able to play. And I've had some Ecuadorians that have gone back to their country that I've taught to play the piano, and now they can play in the services down there. And Chileans, we have a lot of immigrants in our church. Chileans, Colombians, Valencians, Mexican fellow, the pastor, and so on. So the Lord is just blessed in a very, very special way in these years. We feel like you folks have had a real part in that. Haven't been able to be over there to see it in person, but we've tried to keep up with our letters and give you an update as every so often, so that you can know what is going on and how the Lord is blessing over there. And it's continuing on. Just like Flay had to leave 7 years ago, and because of his wife's poor health, and we had prayed for years, Lord, give us a good man. Give us a good pastor. We've seen more than once a pastor come in and tear up a church in 6 months. And we told the Lord, Lord, we don't want that to happen here. Give us someone who will carry on what we've established here. And so he did with Alberto. And he is continuing on in pastoring the church. He's a good man and, of course, knows Spanish and can write and so on. Another thing I did, and Tutti started it some 34 years ago, was a monthly bulletin on an A4 size sheet of paper. It would be twice this, and different articles and news of the church and so on like that. She started it and carried it on for several years, and then she passed it on to me, and so I've done it. And now it's continuing on. I did my last one in October, and now they're continuing on with it, and just did the first one now in January. A young man in the church is doing that with the pastor's help. And so it's just a joy for us to realize what the Lord has done. I'd like to bring just a thought from the Word. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, there's an interesting verse that caught my eye a number of years ago. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And now if you didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? That second question, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? What do you have that you haven't received? You know, when you think about that, from a biblical viewpoint, we don't have anything that we haven't received. We've got it. from the Lord. The very thing that we have a heart beating in our chest is from the Lord. The fact that we were able to crawl out of bed this morning is from the Lord. And everything we do, whether it's secular or sacred, is because the Lord has allowed us to do it. And I don't have time to go into the context of this, but I thought of Moses. You know, Moses was being called. He saw the burning bush, and the Lord was telling him, I want you to go back to Egypt and lead my people out. He had all those excuses, remember? Don't have time to go into all of that this morning. But one of the questions the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? He looked at his hand, and in his hand he had what we would call a shepherd's crook. Una vara in Spanish. Una vara. Moses had grown up in the court of Pharaoh, one of the most powerful governments on the earth during that time. And for 40 years he lived there. One of the most knowledgeable people on the earth at that time. And then 40 years out in the desert, shepherding sheep with a shepherd's crook in his hand. It was just the most natural thing to have. When he got up in the morning, that was the first thing he grabbed. Nowadays, it's an iPhone, right? And take off with his sheep. 40 years. Talk about humiliating. And now the Lord was saying, I want you to go back to Egypt to lead my people out. And he was giving all his excuses. What do you have in your hand? Shepherd's crook. You take that, and you will use that to lead my people out. And you know how he did that. Throw it on the ground. It became a serpent. Pick it up again. Before Pharaoh, he would wave that crook. Shepherd's crook, you know, for the plagues that came over Egypt. When they were going out of the country and came up on the Red Sea with the Pharaoh's army behind them, God says, extend your crook out over the waters, and they separated and became a dry land. What is that in your hand? And the thought that I would like to leave with you today is, what do we have in our hand? What do I have in my hand? I had things placed in my hand, not just from the Lord, of course the Lord was behind it, but things that I never dreamed I could use. I remember when the Lord told me to go back to school and change my major to Bible. And I thought, all of those 5 hours a week down the drain? At BJ, I had to practice 15 hours a week for 2 years. 15 hours a week playing the piano. All of that for nothing was my thoughts. And then years later, what do you have in your hand? You never know. I tell the kids in the seminary and the school over there, take advantage of opportunities that you have to learn something. You never know what door that can open. I learned to play the trombone when I was going into high school, never dreaming that because of that trombone, someday I would be going to Puerto Rico And the Lord would be opening up my eyes to the mission field. What do you have in your hand? Take advantage of it. Young people. You think, oh, I'll never use this. Well, maybe you won't. But maybe it will give you a door to your lifetime service for Him. In many ways. And I have a letter here that a lady from my home church in Seymour, Iowa. By the way, it's where you see less, just a small town. And we were out there one time on furlough. I spoke at my home church. And a dear lady named Mrs. Carlson wanted us to come by the house that Sunday afternoon. And so we said, sure, we'll be glad to come by. And we got there, and she said, I have a quilt that I've made for you, and I want you to have it. And she wrote us this letter. She said, I received your letter today. I'm so glad you like the quilt. I really made it for myself. But when Dennis preached that morning, what is that in your hand? Jesus just seemed to speak to me. Can I have your beautiful Dahlia quilt? So I gave it so willingly, for he gave me the gift to be able to make it in the first place. I had always said I would never, ever part with it. I loved it so much. So I really was glad to let you have it, and was glad that he spoke to me while you and Dennis were here. For there is no one else I would sooner let have it. I hope you will treasure it even more when you kind of know the story behind it. We still have that Dahlia quilt. Huh? And Mrs. Carlson passed away, went to be with the Lord a number of years ago. But she did what she had in her hand. She did what she had in her hand. And she also had a wonderful Christian testimony. Just a humble lady went to that First Baptist Church there in that small town of Seymour. But the Lord has really used her. She would write us letters like this constantly and tell us the news of the church and her family and things like that, and was just a tremendous encouragement to us as we were on the mission field. What is that in your hand? I trust that the Lord will challenge us. The Lord will use us. We're not real sure yet what the Lord has for us as far as retirement, in quotes. We sure don't want to sit down and just twiddle our thumbs for the rest of our lives. We still have reasonably good health and are trusting the Lord to open doors for us. There is a church in Easley that Brother Flay Allen has made tremendous contact with. It's been a big help to them. And he's been going out and helping them in their music on Saturday afternoons and Sunday mornings. And it's completely in Spanish. It's a Spanish church, mostly Mexicans, although probably some other peoples too. And we've been there before. And they told Flay the other day, let's do a cantata for Easter. Cantata for Easter? You know, blow me away. And because their music, there are some people that know a little bit of music, but very little in the church. And so Flay says, we need to do something. Let's do something. So we're working on that. And so next Saturday afternoon and next Sunday morning, we'll be going with Brother Flay over to Easley to help them out with music in their church. It's a thriving church, just a group of enthusiasts. Their pastor is very enthusiastic, very energetic, and and just a great man of God. And so We're looking forward to doing that in the days ahead. And we'll see how our cantata comes off. Thank you so much for your prayers for us. Thank you so much for your consistent support down through the years. And we've prayed for you, thought about you a lot. And we just pray that the Lord would continue to bless you here in Athens. Hope sometime we can see you again. Thank you very much, Pastor. Appreciate it.